KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Here is what's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour.
Happen to remember those long lines for gas in the 70s? I'm Brian Calvert, and we're now seeing the same thing for the vaccine.
Also,
Cougars returning to the campus in Pullman will need a COVID test before classes start at Wazoo. I'm Carlene Johnson.
She jumped out of a car moments before it hit a federal way home. I'm Frank Lindsay. So where is she now?
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A growing list of suspects and cases. Acting U.S. Attorney for D.C. Michael Sherwin in a briefing today says there are more than 275 open investigations related to violence inside and outside the Capitol from the siege last week.
We anticipate that that's going to grow easily past 300 probably by the end of the day and then exponentially increase into the weekend and next week.
Federal prosecutors today noting in some court filings, including the Jacob Chansley case, who was shown wearing horns and fur inside the Capitol. There is, quote, strong evidence that support the intent of the rioters was to capture and assassinate elected officials. And a bulletin now warning that the siege may be part of an increasing trend.
Far from a one-off event, a joint intelligence bulletin obtained by ABC News said the January 6th siege of the Capitol is very likely part of an ongoing trend. That trend involves domestic extremists exploiting lawful gatherings to pursue violence and criminal activity. And the bulletin said that very likely will increase throughout 2021. Targets include government officials, journalists, and minority groups as extremists find Confederacy online and share what the bulletin called the false narrative of a stolen election. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi today asked at a briefing if she's concerned members of Congress may have aided and abetted rioters. She said if an investigation finds that, it would be a criminal matter. She says security and trust are paramount.
In order to serve here with each other, we must trust that people have respect for their oath of office, respect for this institution. We must trust each other, respecting the people who sent us here.
President-elect Joe Biden focusing on battling the pandemic. He detailed his nearly $2 trillion plan last night. It includes more direct payments to Americans and money to boost vaccination distribution and sites. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good morning once again. Welcome to a Friday. It's 11:02. Currently downtown Seattle, some sun breaks, clouds, and 49. I'm Tom Hutler with our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. Earlier this week, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar announced they would release all available doses of the COVID vaccine.
We are releasing the entire supply we have for order by states, rather than holding second doses in physical reserve.
Now, the Washington Post reports there were no doses being held in physical reserve. There won't be an extra shipment of the vaccine. States across the country had made plans to more widely distribute the vaccine. Now those plans have to change. In a tweet, the Washington State Health Department says they understand why people may feel the situation is confusing and frustrating. COVID-19 cases continue to rise here in Washington. So does the demand for the vaccine, as we hear from KOMO's Brian Calvert.
The state health department reported another 2,729 new COVID cases yesterday and 38 new deaths. The virus continues to spread, and it's fueling a desire to get the vaccine. And that's causing another issue. People waited all day yesterday for the vaccine at a drive-up site in Sequim, even though the last car was allowed in line before 7 a.m., meaning many of those had waited overnight for a chance to get the injection. Some fear it's a sign of things to come, and state officials worry that phases of those who can be vaccinated are advancing far faster than the pace of opening injection sites. For example, Skagit County plans to move to the next phase of vaccination January 26th. That phase will allow many more people to qualify. And at this point, the county isn't certain it will have the doses to satisfy demand. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
No COVID test, no key card. Our partners at KXOY in Spokane report that's the rule for students returning to campus for the start of the semester next week at Washington State University.
The university hopes to avoid a COVID outbreak like they had in Pullman last fall. And with far more students returning to campus housing and a lot more in-person classes this semester, a COVID test will be required. For those living on campus, they can't get their key card until they've done that. Phil Weiler is the vice president of marketing and communications for Wazoo.
What we learned in the fall semester is that there was no transmission that we're aware of between students living in residence halls.
University's already tested about 3,000 students this month, including Fidel Ramos, who graduates in May.
I do feel pretty safe. You know, I haven't really seen people not wearing their masks or anything like that, and I feel like people are taking this seriously.
They're, of course, urging them not to go to parties where the masks tend to come off and social distancing disappears, which can lead to big outbreaks like they had last fall. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Here's what's next.
Will a Seattle judge force Amazon to restore Parler? I'm Corwin Hake. Social media site gets its day in court.
Como News Time 11:04. This is where we update traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, we have been working with a crash in Tukwila, northbound I-5 approaching South Center that's been blocking two right lanes, and that had the drive back up for about two and a half miles. But now in the backup near 188th, we have a car fire, and this thing is really engulfed in flames right now. And with that, the right lane is currently blocked, and so we are dealing with a very slow drive as you're working your way through SeaTac. Then in Seattle, it's going to be slow going much of the way from Michigan toward the West Seattle Bridge. We've had a major backup of semis trying to get onto Harbor Island this morning. That affects everybody trying to travel westbound on that Spokane Street viaduct between I-5 and 99. Northbound I-5 continues to crowd as you're approaching the convention center. Our next Como traffic at 11:14.
Your forecast, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Rain clouds may linger for a little bit longer into the afternoon. More of a nuisance. Light sprinkle here and there, anywhere from Brennan into Paulsbo East into Seattle and Bellevue. But drying out tonight, starting off the day tomorrow, maybe with a little bit of sun, followed by an increase in the clouds. Light showers do return Saturday night. They wrap up early Sunday morning for a period of sun to finish off the weekend. And the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
49 and partly sunny downtown. It's 11:06, 20 minutes of nonstop news. Continues. A woman is on the run after she jumped from a car moments before it crashed into a home in Federal Way Thursday.
It was around 5 p.m. when officers were called to the home near South 277th Place and 21st Place South. Witnesses told officers it looked like the car began rolling down a hill. The woman driving it managed to roll out of it just before it hit a garage, badly damaging it. She took off. No one in the home was hurt.
Como's Frank Lindsay. A substitute teacher at Seattle's Catherine Blaine K-8 school in Magnolia is under investigation for allegedly exposing himself during an online class earlier this week. An email from the principal said, in part, some students and parents reported seeing one of our substitute teachers on camera in his home, and what was seen caused enough concern for the district to open an investigation. The Seattle Times reports a man in his 50s or 60s wasn't teaching the class at the time, but was participating via Microsoft Teams. Seattle police and involved as well, in addition to the school's investigation. Parler, the social media site favored by the far right, is asking a federal judge in Seattle for an emergency order to force Amazon to restore the site to its powerful cloud service. We get the update from Como's Corwin Hake.
At a Thursday hearing, U.S. District Judge Barbara Rothstein said she will make a ruling as soon as possible on whether Amazon Web Services will have to at least temporarily restore Parler to its servers. Amazon banned Parler, effectively shutting it down, in response to allegations Parler members used the site to organize last week's attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Amazon is the largest cloud storage vendor in the world.
Parler Chief Executive John Mates told Fox Business.
They gave us basically, they said, you have 24 hours to find new servers.
The Seattle Times reports an Amazon attorney defended the decision, telling Judge Rothstein the events of January 6th changed the way we think about the world. Rothstein says she will at least consider a preliminary injunction prohibiting Amazon from continuing to deny service to Parler. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Vancouver Congressmember Jamie Herrera Butler is facing backlash from her vote to impeach President Trump. The five-term Republican said on the House floor she was not afraid of the political ramifications.
My vote to impeach our sitting president is not a fear-based decision. I am not choosing a side. I'm choosing truth. It's the only way to defeat fear.
In a letter to Herrera Butler, a group called the Clark County Republican Women say they will, quote, do everything in our power to elect a conservative candidate who represents our values. Airlines are stepping up security on flights to and from the nation's capital amid new threats of mob violence. Como's Joel Moreno talked with passengers at SeaTac Airport.
Passengers will get extra scrutiny if they're headed to Washington, D.C. With the inauguration looming and protesters expected from around the nation, airlines are adopting temporary new rules.
I don't think you can be too cautious suspicious given everything that's going on.
Several airlines won't allow firearms inside checked baggage for the next week for flights headed to the nation's capital.
I'm all about Second Amendment rights.
Masks are already required to fly commercially, but after a rowdy group of passengers refused to wear them on a flight back from D.C., Alaska Airlines is doubling down. Extra flight attendants are being added to support compliance. Limits are being placed on ticket sales to and from the D.C. area. Passengers must stay in their seats for 1 hour from takeoff or landing near the U.S. Capitol, and pilots will be ready to divert to the nearest airport over disruptive behavior.
Most of these security changes will expire a few days after the inauguration. King County seeing a record surge in deadly drug overdoses.
Between December 27th and January 9th, the county medical examiner identified 42 suspected or confirmed overdose deaths. That is the biggest number of overdoses in a two-week period ever in King County, and double the average weekly overdose deaths for most of 2020. The recent surge comes after a dip in overdose deaths during the fall.
Como's Kelly Koopmans at Multnomah County, Oregon, a rescue mission now, a recovery effort.
Authorities now fear the worst, believing that 50-year-old Jennifer Camus Moore died in Wednesday's landslide near Dotson, which is just east of Portland. She had just been on a date with her husband. Both were driving in separate cars when that hit. That debris flow swept her car away, and the sheriff's office says her car is buried underneath 15 feet of mud and debris. Search teams now are using rafts and metal poles to locate Moore. They are not sure if and when they can get to the car because more rain is now in the forecast.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto, Como News Time 1110. The Zags rolling to another win. Como's Eric Heitz at the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk.
Top-ranked and undefeated Gonzaga beat Pepperdine 95-70 last night. Gonzaga has won 46 straight home games, the longest streak in the nation. Corey Kispert scored 23 points and 8 rebounds for the Zags. The Huskies lost to USC last night 95-68. The Dogs are 1-10 and winless in the Pac-12. The Cougars lost to the Bruins 91-61. A record-setting first half of this year for the Seahawks offense slowed to a halt in the second half and in their playoff loss to the Rams. They'll have new play caller next season. Quarterback Russell Wilson hopes the next coordinator will want a faster start that'll give them a better chance to win.
I think we should go score 24 points before the half. Like, that should be like, let's go, boom. And like, let's get out ahead, especially how great our defense has been playing. Let's start early.
Wilson says he's thankful to former offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, who was dismissed from the team earlier this week. Two reports say former Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn has spoken to the Seahawks about the job. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport says Lynn is interested, but has not decided what his plans will be next year. And the Jaguars have lured Urban Meyer out of retirement to be their next head coach. Before heading to TV, Meyer won three national titles at Ohio State and Florida. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
Como News Time, 11:11. Traffic and weather on the way. We're now hearing from some of the police officers who tried to defend the U.S. Capitol during last week's siege. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz.
Thought, you know, this might be it. I might die.
And he very easily could have died.
That was the one that was crushed in the door.
Officer Daniel Hodges, 32 years old, talking about this moment, his gas mask ripped off, crushed in a doorway by a riotous mob.
I got pinned through the small back and forth we had, fighting for, you know, every inch. There's nothing I can do to defend myself at this point, so I just started screaming top of my lungs for them to give me a way out, give me a line of retreat.
Hodges, one of three D.C. Metropolitan police officers who raced to the Capitol, sharing their terrifying experience with our affiliate WJLA.
They have a heroic story.
Officer Christina Laurie arriving on the scene to chaos, saying she was hit with mace used on bears.
It's not only painful, but you literally can't open your eyes. And when you can't open your eyes and you're in the middle of what we would call a fight.
The officers were protecting the West Terrace doors, which had not yet been breached, facing thousands of rioters pushing forward, shouting USA, USA. Officer Michael Fanon, a father of four, shouting, "We got to get these doors shut," according to the Washington Post. But eventually, Officer Fanon was grabbed by the crowd. He said, "We're shouting, we got one, we got one," as they dragged him away from the doors, rioters beating and tasing him as he pled with them, telling them he had kids.
I remember guys chanting, like, kill him with his own gun, because guys were, like,
grabbing gear off my vest, and they ripped my badge from me, and people were trying to grab my gun.
Fanon's partner eventually helping to free him and get him to safety, but he suffered a mild heart attack and spent 2 days hospitalized. One of the nearly 60 D.C. police officers who were injured in the siege.
That's ABC's Martha Raddatz reporting. Como News Time, 11:14. Traffic and weather coming up, and then we'll hear from ABC's Inez de la Cotera as preparations continue for the first confirmation hearing of the new Biden cabinet. Right now, traffic and weather updated every 10 minutes on the 4s. For the Newman Law Group Traffic Center, here is Kiara Jordan.
Oh, we've been working with a couple of problems in the SeaTac and Tukwila area. We've got a car fire that's taking place right now northbound I-5 near 188th. That's currently blocking the right lane. There's a whole bunch of smoke in the areas. They're trying to get that put out. And then we've also had a crash approaching 405 in South Center that's been blocking two right lanes. So now we're sitting in almost a 3 mile solid backup as you're trying to work your way into and through SeaTac. Northbound I-5 with a heavy commute in Seattle starting near Michigan, sticking with you to the West Seattle Bridge. And that's because westbound traffic on the Spokane Street Viaduct is absolutely solid right now from I-5 to 99. This is all due to a lineup of semis trying to make their way onto Harbor Island. So everybody gets caught up in the backup. Our next Como traffic at 11:24.
And your forecast, not bad at all. We got partly sunny skies this afternoon, high of about 50. Dry tomorrow, although we will be cloudy. And then some rain returns on Sunday to wrap up the weekend. Currently in Everett, we've got 49 and mostly sunny. Currently 48 in clouds at Tacoma and some partly sunny skies, 51 degrees at SeaTac Airport. Como News Time, 11:50.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Huntler with these stories we're tracking right now. The FBI warns all 50 U.S. state capitals to brace for events similar to last week's siege on the nation's capital. Many governors, like Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer, are deploying their state National Guard. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi asking retired Lieutenant General Russell Honore to conduct an investigation of the security after the violent attack on the Capitol last week, calling what happened an attempted insurrection instigated by President Trump. Como News Time, 11:16. The Senate Intelligence Committee set to hold the first confirmation hearing for President-elect Biden's administration, with Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, Haynes, set to appear before that committee. With more on the confirmation hearings, I'm joined by ABC's Inez de la Cotera in Washington. And as if confirmed, this move would make some history.
That's right. She would be the first woman to become Director of National Intelligence. And she was supposed to be the first kind of cabinet pick going through this confirmation process. She had a hearing scheduled for today. That hearing was supposed to be held virtually, but at the 11th hour, you know, like literally at 11 p.m. last night, Eastern time, we got a statement from the Senate Intelligence Committee chairs, Marco Rubio and Mark Warner, saying that they were postponing her hearing. They didn't really say why. They didn't say when it was being rescheduled to. I think there's some speculation that it's because lawmakers would rather have her come before the committee in person rather than, you know, having a virtual hearing. We saw that kind of part of it, that argument play out during the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. You'll remember there were many on the left arguing that her hearings needed to be held in person because this was way too important a position to be confirmed virtually. So I think that might be some of what we're seeing play out on Capitol Hill as well, with those on the right now saying they want these confirmation hearings to be held in person. So we'll keep an eye on that and on the date. We should point out that on Tuesday, four more members of Biden's cabinet will begin their confirmation processes. So we're looking at Tony Blinken for Secretary of State, Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary, Lloyd Austin for Defense Secretary, and Alejandro Mayorkas for Homeland Security Secretary. So, you know, I think there's also some speculation there that Avril Haines might be added on to that day.
All this goes on inside. Meanwhile, outside, against the backdrop of an unprecedented security presence in the nation's capital in anticipation of what could be very, very troublesome times next week for the inauguration. What is the scene around there right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really something. I've been here 5 years now. I've never seen anything like it. D.C. is effectively on lockdown. I mean, the whole Capitol area has been shut down. The White House has been shut down. The National Mall, the National Park Service just announced the National Mall was now shutting down through January 21 to ensure a smooth and secure inauguration. There are, interestingly, going to be demonstration areas. So the National Park Service has designated the U.S. Navy Memorial and John Marshall Park as designated demonstration areas, protesters would need to have permits. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who actually comes out, what kind of groups come out. That is, of course, the big concern here. There could be a repeat of what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. But, you know, we've all seen those images of the National Guardsmen at the Capitol patrolling the halls, you know, standing outside. It's really something. They're really taking all the steps necessary to ensure that everything runs smoothly.
All right. We shall see what happens, and hopefully things come off without a hitch. It doesn't seem like a great bet right now. Thanks, Inez. Have a great weekend. ABC's Inez Delicatera in Washington.
From ABC News Tech Trends, Samsung is targeting a new type of smartphone user with its latest S21 line. C. Scott Brown is a senior writer at Android Authority. He says Samsung is trying something new this year.
Last year, they were like, what if we made the phone super expensive and exclusively geared towards power users? And unfortunately, those phones didn't sell well at all. So Samsung is basically doing an about face.
The new Galaxy S21, S21 Plus, and S21 Ultra get an updated design and 5G connectivity. Brown says Samsung spent a lot of time touting its adaptive features too.
If you turn up an app, it's going to have the best refresh rate. If you pull up your camera, it's going to take the best shot. And you don't have to touch anything. You don't have to think about anything.
But in the process, he says Samsung got rid of some notable features.
The negative side of that is that you're alienating the power users, the people who want that control.
With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Coma News Time 11:20, where we check your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour, and it's time for the Propel Insurance Business Update.
Consumers cut back on retail spending during the December peak of the holiday season as the country confronted a surge in coronavirus infections. The 0.7% month-over-month drop marked the third straight decline in the measure of spending at stores, vehicle dealerships, restaurants, and online. After a stretch of growth last spring and summer, spending declined in a number of key categories, including online purchases, bars and restaurants, electronics, groceries, and department stores. It's hard to leave your house these days without crossing paths with one of COVID-19's more appealing legacies, the lockdown puppy. Signs that pet ownership increased during the pandemic are positive for stocks like Chewy. Nestle's pet care division was its top performer over the 9 months through September, growing sales 10.6% compared with the same period a year ago. That's your money now.
Now we're still down across the board on Wall Street. The Dow's off 104.5 to 30,886. The Nasdaq dropped 51.25, 13,061 overall. The S&P 500 is down about 17.5 points at 37.77. Como News Time 11:21.
Stay home, stay connected, stay informed with Como News on your smart speaker.
Como News 1000 FM 97.7.
I'm Amanda Factor. Here are the
Como
top stories.
Keeps you connected to your world and the latest on the fight against coronavirus on the radio, online, all the time. Como News.